I would like you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. You know, when I was a young, very young and foolish believer, I went to fellowship and they started reading the Bible, and I thought it would have been the coolest thing to be a prophet. You know, and I thought, oh God, I want to be a prophet. I want to be a prophet. And then the fellowship coordinator at the time said, John, you ought to read the Bible some more. Make sure you know what you're getting into. And then I read it some more, and I thank God that I wasn't a prophet. You know, you want to do all the great, big, wonderful things, right? But you don't necessarily want to do all of the hard stuff. And Ezekiel was one of those prophets. The man just had what each and every one of us would say, no, I don't want to do this job. I don't want to do this job, Lord. God told him, I want you to lay on your left side for 390 days. And eat this and do that, and you know, so that you can pay for the sins of your people. That's a little rough. That's just one of the things God told them to do. But in Ezekiel chapter 3, God gives Ezekiel a word that he wants delivered to the children of Israel. And it says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not the warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life. And the same wicked shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from the wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt deliver thy soul. I don't think anybody wants that responsibility, right? To have, because you didn't speak out, somebody, their blood is required on your life. Now, this is a prophet and a message that was given, and God called him to be a watchman, and this was a specific revelation to him. I believe that we can take the truths that are here and apply it to ourselves, but I do not believe that an individual's blood is required at your hand because you didn't speak at any particular moment. You and I are not necessarily watchmen in the same way that the prophet is called to be one. We are ambassadors for Christ. Yet, there's something to learn here. There's something to really learn and understand and apply. In Ezekiel chapter 33, you get a real sense of this. See, because a watchman is an individual who is to stand guard. You know, you got two kinds of watchmen in this section here. You got the military one. God gives you the example of. He's the man stands on the wall, and when he sees the enemy coming, he's to blow his horn and watch for the people and warn them of the coming army. And that's his job. If he doesn't do it, then the blood is required at his hand of the city. You know, the city's going to die. The people are going to die. They're not warned, but God requires that blood of that man's hand. There are jobs in life that if you don't do your job, people die, right? All right? If you don't do your job, people die, and you're held responsible. You show up drunk and you're flying an airliner, you're responsible. You drive and you're drunk, you're responsible. This truth is the truth, okay? And it makes perfect sense. I just want you to understand. So it's not just, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. No, it does. So in Ezekiel 33, verse 1, it says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and he warn the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword come and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. And he heard, for he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Verse 6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. That truth, I believe everyone has got the responsibility to do the job that they're called to do. Again, I think spiritually, Ezekiel has got this burden. He's got this because God said it to him. If you don't speak, I am requiring their blood at your hand. That is one heck of a mission. But we know that this is true. Even not that many years ago, if a military man was standing guard and the base was overrun, he would be court-martialed. Or many years ago, he would be killed. He'd be shot because he didn't take care of the men that he was supposed to guard. That kind of serious responsibility is part of every one of our lives. We are parents. We are people in the church. We got responsibility to speak the word, to shine the light out. We have those kinds of responsibilities. We're parents. We got jobs. We got things that we take care of. Day in and day out. I'm a husband. I have to watch. I have to take care of my house, my home, my wife. Now, my abilities may have changed over the years, but I am still the watchman. I am the watchman in the sense that if I don't do my job, guess what? Somebody suffers. But if it's my responsibility, then God requires it at my hand. And I believe that that is absolutely true. Do I believe, like I said, do I believe that you and I are called as watchmen in the same exact sense as Ezekiel? No, I don't believe that. Because this is a revelation given to a prophet with a ministry. And the individuals who are called with ministries, much is required of. Much. And they have a burden and a responsibility that God requires a great deal more from those individuals than he does from the other believers. But everybody's got something. Everybody has got something. You know, and you have to understand that, and you have to take heed to that. We are ambassadors for Christ. Our mission is to hold forth the good news to a dying world, to reconcile them back to God. That is our mission. That is something that is plainly written, straightforward. It says that when you hold forth the word and they reject you, you move on. But you're holding forth the word. If they accept it, praise the Lord. And you still move on. You got to keep going to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. So verse 7 says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. And when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his ways to turn from it, if he do not turn from his ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be as, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil, from his ways, and live. Turn you from your wicked ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turns from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say unto the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and committeth iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and if he turn from his sins and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, if he restores the stuff that he's been stealing and give again that which he hath robbed and walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. They didn't like this at all. See, when an individual turns, you and I, we turn from our sins. We turned, and God accepted us. We believed the gospel, and Almighty God accepted us and wiped away all our unrighteousness. Right? When the sinner turns, doesn't matter what he has done in his life, doesn't matter how grievous, how terrible, how absolutely heinous it was, if he turns to Almighty God and believes the gospel, God will save him, and none of his sins will be remembered. At the same time, those who are righteous and decide to turn away from God and sin and die in their sin, forget, it's how you end in life. There's no such thing as, well, I was mostly a good guy. That's not, and the people didn't like that. The people say, the Lord is not just. No, this is God's word. This is his truth. This is what he's laying out for each and every one of us. And it is righteous, whether you like it or not. You know, most people will say, oh, I'm a good person. So? That don't cut it. Do you believe the truth? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Do you walk in his ways and in his commandments? Do you believe that he died for you? If you do, then walk in newness of life. Do you believe that he took upon him your sins, that he was your substitute, and in substituting, he gave you his righteousness, and you are free? Do you believe that? Then why turn back? Then why turn back? Don't die. God's saying, I got no pleasure in you guys dying. But this is their choice. Israel had turned from God. They're worshiping other gods. They're going up to the unholy places and they're having festivals and they're eating and drinking and serving other gods. And there's a verse in Ezekiel. God says to Ezekiel, they hear your wonderful words. They love to hear you talk, but they don't do it. They don't do it. It doesn't cut it with the Lord. You know, there's so many thoughts that I have, but I want you to understand, it's how you end. You could be like the worst creep in the world, but it's how you end. The man who was next to Jesus Christ, he's one of my favorite examples. I deserve to die. I deserve the death penalty. This man's done nothing. Leave him alone. And Jesus Christ just turned to him. I think he read the accusation that was above his head. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And he said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. That was it. A lifetime of sin, iniquity, injustice, hurting people, robbing people, doing whatever he was doing. And in that last moment, now there's a lot of Christians that'll say, well, I guess got to wait till the last minute. Well, sometimes you ain't going to have that thought before it shows up. You want to bet on it? And do you really think God's a sucker? You can work him like that? Do you really think you want to play him like a fool? This kid is just waiting. Going to live like hell and just waiting for that last minute on his deathbed to say he's sorry. You really think? Read the Bible, guys. Saul did that, right? Oh, I've done the will of the Lord. No, God didn't accept it. Not the first several times. And the consequences for his sin remained. And not only the consequences, he died looking for a witch to give him revelation from God. I don't think he ended well. Take responsibility. You know, I'm getting old. I got responsibilities. I got responsibilities to my wife, to my home, to my church. I got responsibilities to my grandchildren, to my children. I may not run their lives or provide for them anymore, but I'll tell you what, I'm useful. I got a lifetime of understanding, knowledge, and especially the scriptures. I got a job to do. You got to figure out how you can do yours so that you minister the truth, help, grace, the scriptures to all that are around you in your life, in your family, and your neighbors, your community. You know, there was something that God said right at the beginning of the section of 33. He says, when I send the army, because God's judgment happens, he sends, starts wars. God starts wars when his people need to be punished. You read that all the way through the Bible too. A lot of people don't like that one. But it's the truth. When a land turns and just turns from God, away from God, and just rejoices in iniquity. You know, and this place that we live in isn't exactly squeaky clean. I mean, I'm being facetious, am I not? I mean, we call it a Christian country, but it isn't. It isn't. Can you go down the list of all the things that you know it promotes that are against God and against his word? And it's promoted. You got to speak up too. You don't get shut down. You got to speak up. When the evil is in your face, because God doesn't want, he doesn't want the death of all of these people. He wants them to turn to him. Turn. The word turn would be the word repent in the New Testament. Turn to him. You know, help people to understand. This isn't a joke. This isn't exactly, you know, whether you like it or not, it's how you end. Oh, I'm not bothering anybody. Yeah, but you didn't do anything either. You know, what do they do? You know, oh, I don't know. I'm not going to go down that road with examples. I think you all understand the truth, the premise here. So when that the righteous turn from his righteousness and he commits iniquity, he shall even die therein. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not equal. O, you house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. And that, now do you, I think you're all, you've been hanging around with me for a while, so I'm pretty sure that you all know that this is echoed in the New Testament, right? The book of Romans, chapter 2. In verse 4, it says, or despise thou the riches of the goodness of his forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? But after the hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, they seek for honor, glory, and immortality. If they're seeking that, they get eternal life. Verse 8, but to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they receive indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. If we believe the gospel, and I'm not ashamed of it, it's the power of God unto salvation. If we believe that gospel, salvation is ours. We do our best to walk by it. We mourn our sins. We honor God. We put on his word. We do it and live it. We believe that Jesus Christ. Are we perfect? No, we're never going to be perfect. But at least we come back and say, Father, forgive me. Help me. Help me. Eternal life. See, I have a Lord, and I disappoint him all the time, and I ask for forgiveness. But I know that he sacrificed himself for me. I know that he knew what he was getting when, you know, he called me. I knew exactly that I didn't belong there, but I believed that he did it for me. And I still believe it to this day. Will I ever walk perfectly before my God? Maybe if I drop dead in the next 2 seconds. I may get the last 2 seconds in. I'm being stupid, facetious. No, but he knows that too. That's why he said, you know, pray this. Forgive us our sins. All I'm required to do is forgive others. My sins are forgiven. God wants us to live with him. Now, I got a lot of brothers and sisters throughout the years, and I was taught this, that if you confess Romans 10, 9, and 10, you're done. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto righteousness, right? Salvation. One time, and you're done. Is that what the word says? You can't find that. And if you pull that verse apart, which I'm not going to do for you today, it's continuous action. It's not a one-time action in the past. The verbs in the Greek and everything else are continuous action. I have to continue to make and keep Jesus Christ Lord in my life. I have to believe the gospel and try and do my absolute best to live for it. That's what the scriptures teach. And that's what you and I have to help not only ourselves and each other, we got to watch with each other. We got to help reconcile each other's back to the Father when we get off of this. We got to put it in front of people. Go to 2 Corinthians. Just want to show you this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then we're going to go to Ephesians. See, our Lord and Savior was the offering to God for our sins. And it says in verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, God hath made him to be sin for us, or a sin offering, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took upon us our sins. He was the sin offering that we could have his righteousness. That's a gift. That is a gift that we owe him everything. I owe him my life. I owe him my eternal life. I owe him everything. And you choose. Go to Ephesians 5. Says in verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savor. The Lord walked in love, and his whole life was an odor of a sweet smell unto God. He gave this in worship to God. We also, we follow in his steps. We are to be followers of God as dear children and walk in love. When I don't feel like loving, I'm still loving. I give it to the Lord like he gave. And love is a sacrifice. Love is a real sacrifice. And it's a sweet smell unto God. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting that are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. See, this is written in the book of Ephesians, right? If you're going to go ahead and, like in our nation, it's very common to find people who are witches. All right? People practicing spiritualism. People who are worshiping other gods. Right? Like Allah. Allah is not the same God. If you ever read the one book compared to the other, it's not the same God. Now, do people in America have the right to do what they want to do? Yeah, they do. Do they have the right to do it just in front of God? No, they don't. See, there's a real difference in our society. We are a free society. We believe people ought to be able to live, as long as they don't hurt somebody else, they ought to be able to live and do what they want to do, right? In the privacy of their own lives. But not before God. He's not going to accept that. See, I believe that a man should be able to be in the army, whether he's a queer or straight. He ought to be able to give his life for his country. Do I believe that God's going to accept that lifestyle? Absolutely not. As an American, does he have a right to live that way? Yeah. What's my job? I don't take that away from him, but at the same time, I warn him. Oh, you're offending me. So? See, there's the difference. Do I believe that they got the right? Yes, they do. Do I want to have the government take it away? No, because if the government takes that away, it can take something else away from me. I don't want the government to judge, but God will. And God's people have to know that if you're going to be a drunk and if you're going to be full of sexual immorality and everything else, then you are putting your life in jeopardy from being with God for eternity. You're going to die in your iniquity and sin. And it don't matter whether you said Romans 10, 9, and 10. Because Jesus ain't your Lord, is he? You may say it, but you don't live it. And it's what you do, not what you say. Said, let no man deceive you. And that includes all these wonderful preachers that are in the pulpit. All right, let no man deceive you. That includes me, too. If I ever tell you something that ain't right, I hope you got the guts to tell me. We could talk. You think I'm right all the time? But my phone doesn't ring. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them. For you that were sometimes darkness, you've done this in the past, but now are you lights in the Lord. Walk as a child of light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all godliness, goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That is a life. That's the fruit of a believer's life. We're proving what is acceptable unto the Lord and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather we reprove them. See, it's easy to walk away. I'm going to cloister myself away from the world. Doesn't say that. Don't fellowship, don't pal around, but reprove. But rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which you've done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. When you speak the word to it and you bring someone to the light of the truth of God's word and you shine it on the darkness, it makes manifest that darkness. And the light that you speak, just like Ezekiel, they may reject it or they may save themselves. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So then, see then that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We have in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 10. See, you and I, we got the truth, we got the word, we got the light. You've been sitting here for years. You know the difference. And you got responsibilities. Maybe I don't have as much of a responsibility as I used to. But maybe I do. I just don't see it the way God sees it. You follow me? See, God doesn't call out the qualified. He makes the qualified, he makes the called qualified. There's so many of his people say, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough. You're called to do everything that it says. You're called to worship him. You are called to love him. You are called to reconcile men and women back to him. He will make. Yeah, you're not qualified. You're right. I'm not. Never was. Never thought I ever was. Still don't think I'm qualified. But he makes the people that he's called qualified. He gives them the power. He gives them the grace. He gives them the word. He brings things back to your remembrance when you need it. He'll inspire you to pray. He'll inspire you to lay your hands on someone and they'll be healed. He's the one that does all of this. You just have to be willing. You just have to be willing to speak, to stand up, to go forward. You just have to ask, Father, what would you have me to do today? That's the way it is. You want to sit around and wait for him to tell you, get up and go do this? No, it's not necessarily the way it always happens. Take a little initiative. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what can I do for you today? And maybe, just maybe, he'll give it right to you. And maybe you'll just fall into it as you proceed through your day. Now, you never know. You never know. The phone could ring, and all of a sudden you got somebody that you care for or that you're not really all that familiar with. And the moment comes and you can speak the word to them. You can minister to their heart when they're hurting. You can care for them or show up. Maybe a neighbor, you know that, you know what, they just had a really horrific thing happen, and you come by and bring some fruit and just go and show them that you care. And Carmen's an excellent example of this. She's always bringing people stuff. All right? Always. Yeah, Tony was a great example. We lost Tony Rivera. She fell asleep. She'd always come. She'd bring a cake. You know, she was a feisty old girl. I loved her. She was. But I loved her very much. But you know what? She always loved back. She was a highly opinionated lady. You ever notice? But you know what? She cared. She would show up. She would send me a birthday card. She would send us a Christmas card. She would call once in a while when she could hear. After she stopped hearing, I didn't get no more calls. You know, age gets to you after a while. But through her life, she served. She used to walk in this room time after time after time in great pain and discomfort with her husband, Vinny, so she could hear the word, even though she couldn't hear that good, and it cost her. I just think people like this are, they're gems. They're just beautiful souls. They inspire me. And maybe Tony never knew that she inspired me. But she did. Maybe she just thought, well, I'm just going to get there. Bring him an apple cake. But she inspired me. And I used to kid her all the time about our relationship with Vinny. You stop giving that man a hard time, will you? She'd look at me. Vinny'd laugh. But, you know, she inspired me. Was she, could we criticize? Yeah, we could. But that's not what I'm going to be left with, knowing her and her life. The flaws are not going to be what's magnified. How about you? Do you have any idea what effect you have on me? Probably not. But I know this. I ain't got a bad thing to say about any of you. To me, you come out on a cold, rainy day, and you sit to hear the word, and I just think it's a beautiful thing. And it shows commitment and love. Well, and I know that we're tired, and I know that I'm achy. I don't know about you, but I'm achy. But it means a lot. See, that's love. You're going to talk to each other a little bit later on here, and you're going to minister to each other's hearts. You're going to minister to each other's life, and you're going to encourage each other. And that is part of what this walking in love is, of shedding the light is. See, it's not all just reproof. You know? I mean, some of it is, but not all of it. See, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, my love, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Paul's example, you know what's gone on in my life. He walked and talked to Timothy. You know what's happened to me. You know what I've taught you. You know how I've lived. You know what I've suffered. And I want you to know the Lord has delivered me out of it all. Do you think that didn't inspire him? You think it didn't help him and strengthen him do his job? You know, and it says, verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You do the Word, you know the Word, you keep the Word in front of you, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You keep the Word that you have learned in front of you. You do it. You share it. You live it. It is able to make you wise unto salvation. You just continue to put it on in your life and in your heart. And don't allow anybody to talk you out of it. The world we live in, the people that are surrounding us, are waxing worse and worse. Don't let it discourage you. You've been told that it'll be there. Keep your eye on the stuff that means something. That means something. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season, all the time. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, thy service. Speak up for the Lord. Stand up for the Lord. Never be ashamed. When you get a chance, warn them. You know, you don't have to walk down the street with a sign on your thing saying, repent, the end is near. No. God will give you the word, the person, the place, the time. Just don't be afraid to speak it. See, we do watch, though, in Ephesians 6, in that section on prayer. Go to there. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 18. You know, in putting on the armor of God and doing His word and being a spiritual warrior for Him, one of the most important things you will ever do in your life is to stand watch and pray. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, that's standing guard, thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's a lot of work, just like standing on sentry duty. It's a lot of work. You got to pay attention. You can't fall asleep at the job. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein we may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, you are an ambassador. We pray for one another. We stand up for one another. We pray. Some of you, I know exactly what's happening in your life at a specific thing, and I can pray for that. Some of you, I got no idea. We haven't talked in a long time. But I can still pray. God knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. And there's strength in this. When an entire church prays for the word to move, You know, I pray every night. I've been praying every night for 6 years with Joe Augustine since he took his, you know, I just mentioned it because I made a commitment to pray with him when he went in to get his new stem cells, whatever it was, bone marrow transplant. And he survived. He's one of the few people that did survive. And the odds of him surviving were very minimal. You know? And I just said to him, I said, you want to make a commitment and pray with each other every day? He said, yeah. So for the last 6 years, without, almost without break, except when I'm in the middle of the ocean and I can't get a hold of him, we pray. We have been praying. I pray every night for the next generation that's coming, for God to prepare them to hold forth the word. I pray that he sends them forth. I pray for people that I'll never meet and I'll never know. I pray for the spouses of my from my two granddaughter. I'm pretty sure I'll never meet them. I pray for God to grow them up and help them. I pray for the nation that we live in. I pray for North Korea to open up to hear the word. I pray for all these nations that it's illegal for God's word to be spoken in. I pray for each and every one of those places, for God to deal with those people and for those places to be opened up for the word to be spoken. I don't know how the Lord's going to do it, but I pray for it every day. You know, I could pray for, I pray for a lot of stuff, but I could pray for other things. I could leave those things out. I left them out for years and years and years. I wasn't really all that concerned about North Korea. But then it really got on my soul. It really got in my soul. And I believe the Lord put it there. And I believe that that prayer is inspired of Him for His purpose. And whether I see it or not, I believe it's necessary for me to pray. It's part of the watchman kind of thing that the Lord put on my mind. Yeah, do I believe that if I don't, that I'm responsible for all North Korea? No. But I believe God wants me to do it, and I want to do it what He wants. Ask Him what you should pray for instead of telling Him all the stuff that you want. Serve Him with your heart. Like I said, there some of these things I'll never know. I'll never live to see. Some of them, I think that God's done a miraculous thing in some of the things that I've seen in my life, in His people's lives. And, you know, you just never get to choose which one comes to pass and which one doesn't. I think Liz said that in her prophecy. One of the things that she said. We don't get to choose. Or Carmen was in her prayer. I forget which one. We don't get to choose what comes to pass. And maybe we won't see certain things, but that don't mean you should ever give up on it. Ever. Never give up on the people you love. Love them until you're dead. Because you're the only one who might continue to love them. That don't mean that you tolerate their evil. You know, I got plenty of family members that are going to go to hell. But I won't give up on them. But I also won't shy away from telling them the truth. It's like that thing. You got a right to do certain things, but that don't mean it's going to be cool with God. These are things I wanted to talk to you today about. You know, I'm sort of like in a, as you can tell from what's been on my mind and what's been on my heart, I'm sort of in that kind of place where I am choosing to take a lot more serious some of the things that the scripture says, and for our church, and for the rest of us. I want to do the best job I can with whatever time I got left. I want, whether I will make a difference or not, only God knows. I'm not the judge. Ezekiel broke his butt, and they never listened to him. It's not the job of the minister to see, to make the results happen. That's how you tell whether a business is run properly or not, whether it makes money or not. Church doesn't run that way. Churches, you just hold forth the message, and you may or may not see the results that happen. But never be ashamed of the gospel, and never tire of speaking the truth. I love you all, and that's what I wanted to share with you.